ball. Ewing goes up. The basket counts.
He gets it over to the doctor. Tie ball game. Here's a shot. Julius. He scores!
Anthony for three.
Bang! That one goes down and the game is tied.
Here's Durant moving on Tucker. He turns. He shoots. Yes!
Talking Knicks, Nets, and all things across the association, this is Pick and Pod on WFUV Sports.
Hello and welcome into another episode of Pick and Pod. One of the last ones, but an exciting one we got here for you guys today. Before we hop into the exciting NBA Finals preview, Chaz Owen, how y'all doing today?
You know, I'm doing good. It's super exciting for the NBA Finals to be starting up. It's been a week off since both series decided to go 4 and 5 games. So they haven't played in over a week, both teams. So it should be interesting to see how they come out. But I'm doing really good and super excited for game one tonight.
I'm obviously super hyped. The Mavericks don't really know what's coming to them. Kyrie is in for a rude awakening. He's on this whole spiritual journey where he's like, I'm not really rattled by Boston anymore. I'm not really concerned like about with the fans and blah blah blah. He's lying. The second he steps foot on TD Garden floor, he's gonna get rattled. Celtics are gonna blow him out. I'm blessed enough to go to Boston tonight. It's my first championship game that I've ever been to for a sport. So I'm very excited for that. But yeah, super, super pumped for game one tonight.
Yep, y'all said it. Game one tonight, Mavs versus Celtics. Celtics are 6.5-point favorites tonight. And we are finally going to see the long-awaited return of Kristaps Porzingis tonight. And Chaz, I want to ask you first, as the Celtics fan here, how big of a role does Kristaps play tonight in ensuring that the Celtics can get a win?
I mean, Daniel Gafford has about as much business guarding on an NBA perimeter as I do. So I think that Kristaps being able to stretch the floor really well is going to open up the Celtics offense. Does that – when the Celtics run 5 out and they have JT and JB diving to the basket, collapsing defense, being able to play off 2, kick out, there really is no better basketball in the NBA than that type of Celtics offense. So I genuinely believe that Kristaps will be the difference maker this series. Hopefully he stays healthy. I think he's motivated against Mavericks fans that hate him. So I'm very excited to see what he does this year. He is the difference maker, though. He is the difference maker. If I don't care like how good Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are, the better closers are Luka and Kyrie. That's a fact. I don't want to see the Celtics in close games this series at all, but I definitely want to see Kristaps on the floor for as much as possible.
This is also going to be the first time that the Mavericks have played against a stretch five this playoffs. None of the teams that they've gone against so far have even had a stretch five big. So, like you said, Daniel Gafford, if he's being they're relying on him to guard Kristaps Porzingis for the entire series, it's not going to end well. But like you said, the Mavericks have the better closers in this game, in this series with Luka and Kyrie. So if these are close games, I think that's going to be an issue for the Celtics. We've seen that Jason Tatum has not been that clutch this playoffs. I know they haven't played a ton of close games, but the Celtics closers in a lot of their close games have not been great. They've been in a lot of blowouts. But they also haven't had Porzingis for the entire, almost every playoff game except for, what, 2? He only played the first 2 games of the Heat series.
He played 5 minutes in game 2 of the Heat series.
Mm-hmm. So he's really – they're getting a fully healthy Porzingis back. And who knows about Derek Lively? He took that shot to the head, and he probably was concussed, and he just kept playing anyway. But the center matchup is going to be a big part of this series because the Mavericks can't go stretch 5, and – the entire time with Al Horford and Porzingis, the Celtics are going to be doing 5 wide, basically, which is going to give them a huge advantage. So Porzingis is a big difference maker for them. And probably, besides Jason Tatum, the second most important player on that team.
I mean, Porzingis has missed the last 10. The Celtics are 9-1 in those 10. And part of me wonders if he's going to either come back and be super rusty, or he's going to throw them into a rut. I mean, the Celtics are doing well without him right now. And if Kristaps can come, if he comes back tonight, part of me wonders if it's going to throw the Celtics off a little bit, having him in there. He's a great player. He's going to stretch the floor, but part of me is wondering if he's going to be able to just get thrown right back into the action.
I would agree with you if this wasn't what it all, like the Celtics were always going to get to the final, especially with, you know, the path they had, getting the benefit of some terrible injuries to some great players. But I think that the issue with it's very different than when Gordon Hayward got injured in 2018, and Gordon Hayward gets injured in the first game of the season when his ankle went the girl's neck in The Exorcist, just 360. And it was very interesting because Gordon Hayward was back for the playoffs. And it was like the Celtics overachieved without him, but the Celtics have performed at the level of play that they were expected to without Porzingis. So I think you can only benefit him with more minutes in the lineup.
I also don't think he's going to hurt this team so much because of how well they've played all season. And he can't be worse than Luke Kornet because they've been giving Luke Kornet minutes for this entire playoff run. And
worst basketball player I've ever seen in my entire life. That guy, I should get his contract.
Nick legend Luke Kornet, by the way, who's helping continue the 78-year streak of a Nick being in the NBA Finals, and it hasn't been a Nick in over 50 years, so that's going pretty well. But yeah, Luke Kornet is not great, so getting Porzingis back completely eliminates those minutes, and then 38-year-old Al Horford isn't going to have to be scoring like 15 points a game for them to kind of have good center play. So I know what you're saying about him coming back might hurt maybe the rotation, but he really isn't that much of a ball handler, so I don't think that's really going to affect the Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown minutes that much because he's not going to be doing much dribbling. He's just going to be stretching the floor, getting rebounds. So I think he might come back a little rusty in those first two games, but I don't think he'll end up hurting the other players.
And now he's coming back from a calf injury. I mean, Giannis had the same injury, and he wasn't even able to run after 3 weeks. And so part of me also wonders, I mean, how is he going to do on the defensive side? I mean, this is when he's attacked in the pick and roll. I mean, you know, the Mavs execute that so well with Luka, the pick and roll with the cut to the basket. When he is targeted in that pick and roll, is he going to be able to defend it just as well as he would have before the injury? Or is he going to be looking like he doesn't belong out in the court?
He's so lanky. Like, he takes up so much space in the passing lanes, and his shot contest radius is comparable to, like, Calvin Johnson's catch radius in terms of how much bigger it is than everyone else in his position. I think that what Porzingis does for you in drop coverage, I love. I don't love for him going over screens. I think that is where you're going to get tripped up with the calf injury a little bit. So I think you play under screens. I think Luka, the Celtics beat the Mavericks in both regular season games they played. Kyrie and Luka played fantastic in both games. It's just the Celtics ended up playing better. So I think that if you take Porzingis into the equation, you put him in the drop coverage, and you just get his hands up, his hands wide in the passing lanes, I don't see any way that the Celtics don't achieve a certain level of basketball that is going to win them an NBA championship.
Also, when you look at who he's going to be guarding in the pick and roll, like if they're not switching, Derek Lively went 16-16 on field goal attempts in the Western Conference Finals. That's not a guy that you're going to really have to be guarding on the perimeter. Everything he's taking is going to be dunks and layups. So Porzingis isn't really going to, if they don't want to switch it, they can just have him like pick and roll. It's not going to really affect him because you don't have to guard the three ball. I do know what you're saying though, but with drop coverage, you're really going to play drop coverage on Luka Doncic. Like you drop on him and he's pulling a 35-foot three and draining it in your face. This is one of the best shooters that we've seen. Probably one of the best playoff runs we've seen from a player. He's been playing out of his mind. So I don't know if you want to play drop coverage on him. But again, Porzingis is what, 7'2"? So he doesn't really have to be within that much range to contest. But I don't know how much of a problem that calf is
going
to be.
When I say drop coverage, I mean like going under screens. Like that's like going under versus over screens.
Not the something that like drop coverage that gives up an open three.
Yeah. The one that got you guys those 50 wins.
Yeah. I love Tom Thibodeau. Give him the extension.
Yeah, but I love Tom Thibodeau too. He makes it easier for you guys to be beaten by the time spring playoffs come around.
I'm sure that every team the Celtics have played so far has gotten every single player injured. So maybe this will be the first time they play a team that's healthy. It's going to show them that they aren't ready for it.
Yeah, I mean, the Celtics had a Mickey Mouse run here. I mean, you play drop coverage. You heard me. They did.
That's so dumb. I hate that narrative. Like at the end of the day, like, but the fact that like it's not like an 8 seed that was benefiting from these crazy injuries, bro. The Celtics were expected to make the NBA Finals out of an Eastern Conference that puts about as much effort as a tissue paper in a hurricane. I just don't really understand how you can fault the Celtics. I think they had an easier path than they would have, obviously, but I don't see any way that the Pacers, the Cavs, or I don't even remember that first round team because it was so garbage. I'm not even going to acknowledge their existence. Yeah, exactly. I hate that team so much. But I just there's no way that you can say that the Celtics like got purely lucky and that's why they're in the spot they're in. There's no you can't make that.
I'm not saying they got purely lucky.
If you like being wrong.
I'm not saying it was all luck. Yeah, did they have an easy run? Yes. Were they supposed to make the finals? Yes. Part of me is worried that maybe it was too easy and they haven't faced a challenge yet. And now they're going to face a team who beat 50 win teams and has been playing amazing in the playoffs. And now they finally have a challenge. And are they ready to face it?
I would be concerned about that before the Pacers series. The Pacers series showed me that the Celtics can face adversity. I know they didn't face any like stars, but coming back from down 18, going to OT, making those close games, that was the big glowing video game red weak spot for the Celtics. Was on the regular season, they were 6-7 in 3-point games. You know what I mean? So they're not, they either dominate or they lose. So I just think that playoff showed me that mentally, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Kristaps Porzingis when he comes back, Drew, Derek, they're all ready for adversity that is going to come with this Dallas.
I always think, though, that the debate around the Celtics Mickey Mouse run, if you want to call it that, is not because of the teams they played that got hurt, but it was because of the Bucks and Knicks getting injured, because those were always looked at as the two teams that would have been competition for the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, being the one seed, and at the beginning of this entire playoffs, everyone looked at that side of the bracket. It was going to be the Heat, the Mavs, or Cavs, which that was one of the worst series ever. And then that was going to be the Celtics to the Eastern Conference Finals. But then it was looked at as the Bucks or the Knicks might stay healthy and end up getting there, but then they didn't, which I guess that's not really their fault. That's more of a fault to the Pacers there and their run, which don't get me started about the Tyrese Haliburton and the Pacers. But I think that the Celtics, you bring up that Pacers series and them facing adversity. I know those were close games, but a lot of those games, the Pacers beat themselves. And in game one, not being able to inbound the ball, them throwing it away. So the Mavericks didn't make those mistakes because they couldn't. Every series they played was going to 6 or 7 games. So I think if these games are down to the wire, I think the Mavericks are going to have the advantage in these games. And I think they'll be able to steal one of the first two in Boston if it's a close game.
Yeah, the Mavs are winning any close games. I mean, you said it earlier.
That's a big if, though. That is a big if.
If it's close?
If they are close games.
That's not a big if. That's not a
but
big
the Celtics,
if.
The Celtics are not in the business of playing close games. They only played 13 one-possession games all season. That's crazy.
They've played maybe, what, 4 close games this playoffs?
Yeah, and they were all in the Pacers series.
This is the best team you're going to play. You even played a team as good as the Mavs.
Yeah, I would agree. Like, due to injuries, yeah. I think that a healthy Heat team in the playoffs is scarier than the Mavericks. But I'm giving the Mavs their flowers. What? I'm giving them a healthy Heat team in the playoffs. Are you kidding me? You saw what Jimmy Butler did last year. You saw what Bam Adebayo did this year. One of the best dynamic defensive centers we've ever seen. They were missing Terry Rozier, a 20-point-per-game scorer. They're a fantastic team when fully healthy. And they have the best coach in the NBA. There's no way. In my opinion, and maybe this is because I've been abused by the 305 for many years in the playoffs before, and I just have, like, generational trauma from those scumbags in their whiteouts, but there is no way that you can tell me that you're not more scared of a fully healthy, fully on-tilt, Jimmy Butler-led Heat team than I am the Dallas Mavericks.
Not this year's Heat team, no.
I don't think it was as
scary as last year's, because none of their role players were playing out of their minds, and Max Strus was gone.
And because we didn't get to see them, though. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Well, the role players weren't really playing out of their minds until the playoffs. That's why I'll always hate Gabe Vincent and Max Strus. Max Strus is the biggest scumbag on earth. When he wore that Florida Panthers jersey and the Bruins ended up beating them, he's a bad guy. But I don't know. I think that Jimmy Butler has done so many bad things to me. So many bad things to me. And maybe I'm just more scared of him. I am acknowledging that this Mavs team is not just good, they're great. Especially in the clutch. I don't want to see them in the clutch. I don't know if the Celtics, because of the Mavs, weaker. I don't think it's as weak as people give them credit for. They're not as one-sided as the Pacers. But because of their weaker defensive scheme, I don't know if they're built to keep up with the powerhouse that is the Boston Celtics.
For the record, since the trade and the All-Star break, the Mavs are one of the better defensive teams in the league.
Still lost by 28 at home to the Celtics. Fully out.
Yeah, but Luka just think doesn't play defense in the regular season, so that's a big difference. He's been one of the best
and also
in the playoffs.
Yeah, but dude, eye test does not give that for me. I know the metrics say that it is, and I heard people saying he was clamping Anthony Edwards. Dude, I saw a lot of stuff that didn't like from Luka. A lot of flack. I think he definitely tries harder in the playoffs. I think all the Euros do, but I just don't really. I think that the Mavericks are just not able to. They play great defense in the Minnesota series, but I genuinely like. I don't think you guys realize how much better the Celtics are than the rest of the league. Like they are just a cut above the rest. At the end of the day, I think you beat a super weak one seed. I think OK is one of the most fraudulent one seeds we've seen in a while. I think that Minnesota was inexperienced, and I also think that do you guys think that Chris Finch being behind the bench rather than being able to sit, do you think that actually played a difference? I think it made much more of a difference than people think.
The problem was a lot of the games that they were losing were bad Anthony Edwards games, poor shooting from him, and then, I mean, you could look at some maybe the defensive matchups that would have gotten changed, but the coach doesn't change how bad Anthony Edwards played in a lot of those games and early in the series. And then at the end, like, what difference is a coach really going to make when it comes to Luka Doncic hitting huge threes down at the end of the game that are 40 feet from the rim? I mean, he was still coaching the team just from behind the bench. I don't know, but
it was just a very different vibe. It was a very interesting, different vibe. If I'm a Timberwolves player, I don't love to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ant did have a bad, like, because he played three series. The second half of the Nuggets series, he played not just badly, he played terrible, especially in Game 7. He had a bad game. And I think that I don't think it was the Mavericks affecting him. Like, from watching those games, because I think that when people have bad shooting nights, I don't think enough credit goes to the opposing team changing how people shoot. Like when the Pacers were on pace to shoot 75% from the field at half in game two, I think, maybe game one, and the Celtics dropped that down to almost 50 in the second half. I think that doesn't get enough credit for, but I think in this case specifically, and I'm not trying to be biased against the Mavericks here, I think that it was more Ant beating Ant than the Mavericks contesting him harder.
I'm going to disagree with you on that. And the reason for that is, I mean, if you were watching like Ant that series, he was selling for a lot of threes that were maybe sidestep threes, step back threes at the end of the shot clock. And that's because we had that paint protection inside because they had Rudy Gobert. I mean, he's not stretching the floor at all. So you have Gafford and Lively sitting in the paint. So Ant really doesn't have a choice to drive. And so now he's having to settle for these contested threes with a defender in his face. And so I think you got to give the Dallas defense a little credit there. I mean, yeah, he wasn't making some of his more open looks, but he wasn't taking a whole lot of them because his Dallas defense is forcing him into tough shots.
I think he was trying to do the one-man show too much. I think he, like, hurt the team on his back. I think it's so funny that the Timberwolves corporate sponsor is literally named Aura. And that's what everyone, like, is talking about Anthony Edwards with. Like, I hate that term. Like, everyone's like, he's like Jason Tatum, but with Aura. It's like, how about you make an NBA final, you loser? So, I mean, the Mavericks have been great. I think that they are I think that they didn't have the toughest run in the world. I think that one seed was pretty fraudulent. And that Timberwolves team seemed inexperienced to me. And I think it showed very clearly in the playoffs. Chris Finch didn't really adjust very well. Ant settled for shots. Karl Anthony Towns, his body language is just some of the worst I've ever seen out of a so-called star. Nas Reed also kind of disappeared for some of those games. So there's a certain way that I'm looking at this Mavericks team. I think I can look at it as two ways. One of them is just two elite closers and shot creators, a pretty strong offensive two-way big. I'll give Lively some credit. A nice two-way forward in PJ Washington, and I honestly don't care about the rest of the team. And that sounds Eric casual. Good defender, not going to be able to – not hasn't faced a guy like Jaylen Brown.
Is Jaylen Brown going to be guarding Derrick Jones Jr.?
I don't know. I don't know how they're going to run those top three. Because it's also something that the Mavericks run a lot, which I think is good and bad for the Celtics, is when they run Tim Hardaway at the three and they run that three-guard matchup, that'll open up Lively to switch down to Hardaway and Brown up to – Well, do you think they'll have Luka on Brown rather than Derrick Jones?
Yeah, I would imagine.
Really?
So.
You don't think they'll put Luka on Drew Holiday?
Like I think they'll put Drew and Kyrie.
Kyrie.
Not Drew and like I think you put Luka on the worst offensive player.
Are you talking about the Mavs defensively? Oh. Celtics defensively.
Because I don't think it's gonna be like it's not gonna be like pickup. It's like get who you got. Like I think Brown will be guarding Luka. But then I think Jones will be guarding Brown.
Yes, Jones will be guarding Brown. PJ will be guarding Tatum probably.
Yeah. And then do you think Luka will be on Drew or Derek?
Probably Derek.
Yeah.
I imagine you put him on Drew.
No, you think Luka is just so big when he's guarding guards. I don't know. Kyrie is also kind of an underrated defender in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. He's been pretty solid this year as well.
It'll be interesting to see, though, what the Celtics do defensively, because if Luka and Tatum start going off, you're going to have to start blitzing both of them, which is going to leave open someone, which PJ Washington, if he continues to hit open shots, and then I think you start worrying about Derrick Jones Jr., because then they're just going to be getting open shots, because eventually every team's had to do it. You're going to have to start blitzing Luka, doubling him, or start blitzing Kyrie, which is going to leave a lot of guys open. It's just going to be whether or not you – like, if you're the Celtics, you just have to let P.J. Washington beat you.
Yeah, but this defensive backcourt is something that the Mavericks have also not had to see. I mean, Drew Holiday is the best point-of-attack defender in the playoffs. And I love how Derek White gets in passing lanes, and he's also good. It's literally like offense versus defense. Except my defense is also dominant at offense. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's just why I think that the Celtics are so unbeatable is because they're so dynamic. They don't really do anything wrong when they're up 10 with 2 minutes to go. You know what I mean? When they're up 5 with 2 minutes to go, very different story.
Tatum starts shot chopping.
It's not even that, man. Like, I have a future on Jaylen Brown winning finals MVP. You know what I mean? That was my prediction. Because I think that, and I've always said this, Tatum's peaks have always been higher. I mean, Tatum will always have the moments. And I think that's why he gets more star recognition. But I think there's a reason that Jaylen Brown got that contract. It's because he's more consistent. Like, his peaks aren't as high as Tatum's, but neither are his valleys. You know what I mean? He's just way more consistent.
Well, I also think this playoff run, Tatum's, like, Jaylen Brown has been the Celtics' best player this playoff run.
Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah, I don't really care. He's been, like, fine. I think he's been very underrated defensively. I think he got lost in a lot of 1-5 action where they wanted to hide Horford. And Tatum had to guard a 5-man, and he did fine. But I was hoping for the winner of Oklahoma – Dallas when I knew the Celtics were going to make the finals, because the Wolves just had so much length. But then I saw how Tatum was defending bigs. I don't know. The line's always going to be, he's still the Celtics' leading scorer. He's been terribly inefficient. especially from three. I hope you guys don't have that number. You know what it
49%.
Is?
9%.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's pretty inexcusable. That's inexcusable.
He's not supposed to be a three-point. Like, his size, he should not be settling for as many threes as he does.
I feel like he figured that out. Everyone says that, but that was just the Heat series. It was bad. Like, the Heat series, it was like, oh, I'm watching, like, Flight React and who's that? Julian Newman in a 6'10 guy that's literally built like Karl Malone. It's like, oh, yeah, let me take this sidestep three from the logo when no one's guarding me. It's like, oh, thanks, Jason. Go back to St. Louis, you moron. But then halfway through Cleveland and I feel like for a lot of Indiana, he just took to the rack against some tough bigs. Like, the Celtics haven't faced a weak defensive center yet in this playoffs. I think Gafford's good. Evan Mobley was insane.
Oh, Evan Mobley looked like the prospect he was supposed to be during that.
Also, have you guys ever watched a Cavs game in person?
I've not.
Evan Mobley might be 8 feet tall. He might be 8 feet tall. Genuinely one of the largest humans I've ever seen before in my life. He's massive. Massive. But back to my point, I think that Tatum was maybe a little scared of Adebayo, maybe some PTSD from 2020 when he gets blocked on that dunk. One of the worst moments of my life. And he's like kind of going through it, and his just mentals are but I don't think Tatum's play wins or loses the Celtics this series. I think Tatum can be the worst, not the worst. He cannot be a top three offensive player, offensive starter for the Celtics, and the Celtics can still win in five games. That's how good they are. We saw how Derek White stepped up in Miami. We saw how clutch Drew Holiday was in Indiana, hitting some huge threes. We see how good Jaylen Brown is. Kristaps Porzingis is coming back. Tatum is the Celtics' best player. Like, I am a firm believer in that, but he doesn't have to play the best for them to win.
I think that, I mean, we've seen it all playoffs. He hasn't been the best player, and they're winning every single series in five. So, I mean, I think he doesn't need to be the best player, but for a guy that's supposed to be a superstar, I mean, he's always going to get made fun of on Twitter, you know, because he's just never, hasn't been so far the guy that he's made up to be as a top five player in the NBA and MVP candidate every year when he's got five. I mean, you could really realistically say the Celtics have five all-star caliber players in their starting lineup.
They had five guys finish top 10 in voting.
Yeah. So that starting lineup I don't know if that's really more of an indictment on Tatum though, because maybe he doesn't need to be as good. So maybe it's playing different than when he has to carry a team. So maybe that's the difference maker there. But I think Tatum is horrible this series, and they do still win this series in five. But I think
his usage hasn't dropped off enough to excuse his poor play. Like his usage is similar to what it was in 2022 when it was his playoffs. It wasn't his finals. He played so bad in a final.
But he did. But I think he goes on a redemption. Turnovers in the playoffs. So.
I mean, yeah, bad. But he's also, this narrative that Tatum's been terrible all playoffs. He led the Cavs. He led the Celtics in points, rebounds, assists, blocks, and steals. And in the Indiana series, he's the first guy to lead all. He's the first guy to lead the Eastern Conference in points, rebounds, and assists. But you know who else? There's five guys in that group. It's Jason Kidd, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, and Michael Jordan.
And Jason Tatum.
That's the five. So
you
I
just
mean,
like Kobe Tatum, for real.
Tatum's not a good playoff player. I don't know if I love that narrative. I think he could be better, but again, it's the Celtics, so the bar is always going to be higher because everyone is going to the chiropractor. Because their necks hurt so much from looking up at the top of the mountain and seeing green and white. But there's just no way that you're going to tell me that the Mavericks can win this series. I can't wrap my head around how they would do that.
again,
I just can't wrap my head around
Kyrie. I think anytime someone's got Luka and Kyrie, you can't count them out.
Yeah, we have one of the best offensive backcourts in NBA history. I mean, who is going to guard Luka? Who is going to guard Kyrie? Those two guys are unstoppable on the offensive side.
Derek White and Jaylen Brown.
That's not going to do a thing. Respectfully.
Not going to do a thing. I think they'll still go, but I think they'll go off in those two Celtics wins. The Luka averaged a 30-point triple double, and Kyrie averaged like 22 points. I don't think that translates to wins. It clearly doesn't. They both basically did that all season, and the Mavericks were a 5 seed.
Five seed made it to the finals. That has to say something about how they're playing right now.
They are playing great, but they're playing kind of like, I think the Washington is like the biggest difference maker for you guys. I think he's been the standout.
He's been hitting a lot more. Like those corner threes, he's draining them.
He's been like PJ Tucker. He just has the wrong last name.
And he's playing amazing. I can't, and his defense too, very underrated. I mean, he's been.
Yeah, the Mavs as a whole defense is underrated.
Mm-hmm.
Hornets to Mavs,
but it's still not that good. But again, it's still not that good.
There's not much time left. I mean, Chaz, we know you said Celtics in five.
The Mavericks will win game three in Dallas.
And that's it?
Yeah. Celtics in five. They'll win on my birthday.
I'm gonna go Mavericks in six. And I think I think they win game one tonight.
You just don't want to see me happy.
Game one tonight, Mavericks taking it.
You're gonna come back and I'm gonna duct tape your bed to the ceiling in the apartment if the Mavericks win game one. I'm gonna go so crazy on our apartment that the floors are gonna be level.
That would be a win. That'd be a win for everyone.
Yeah.
I'm same as you, Owen. I got Mavs in six. I think. I mean, will be a great series. Yeah, but these close games, the Mavs are taking them, and I think most of these games will be close.
I just have a question for the Mavs. You think if it goes to seven, you think they can win? You think they can win a game seven in Boston?
Possible, yes. Probable, no.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I just want the opinion on that. I mean, that place would just be
Dallas.
Do you believe Kyrie when he says he's not how he was back in that Brooklyn series?
So.
Yes.
He's 0-10. 0-10 since he stepped on Lucky.
Not for long.
Yeah, he'll be. What is it? It'll be one and he'll be 1-14 at the end of the season.
Mavs are taking this 1-6. Game one tonight. Mavs Celtics. Celtics are 6.5 points favorites at TD Garden. What a series it should be. But that'll be all from us here on Pick and Pod. Thank you everyone for tuning in. Pick and Pod is a production of WFUV Sports.